Hello, everybody, and welcome to In the DAW World, a show spotlighting the passion and the people of the DAW community. With your host, Georgette Taylor, former vice president and co-founder of Big Beautiful Dolls. Join her as she talks to fascinating doll artists, customizers, avid collectors, redesigners, authors, and all the people in between as they share their journeys, give us glimpses into their processes, and what propels their passion and drive that help to keep the doll world moving and shaking. Welcome to the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to In the Doll World. I'm so excited that you joined us today. I have such an amazing guest. You know, one thing about In the Doll World is I get to fangirl all the time, and this is no exception. Today, our guest is Noel Cruz. He is a versatile and distinguished repaint artist, and I know you probably know him from he's really most recognized for his celebrity character-based dolls. But his repainting is phenomenal, and I just want to welcome Noel to In the Doll World and say thank you so much for joining us. I'm so excited to have you here with us today.
Thank you, Georgette. I'm most honored. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to share my work, my work on my dolls. And this is really a special moment for me, especially when I spend most of my time just holed up in my office doing what I do. I don't get a lot of chance to really connect sort of format with other people. So thank you so much for this.
Well, thank you for letting us be, you know, one of those people that you want to be able to share your amazing work with. So we're going to definitely talk about your work, but I just want to ask you a little bit more about yourself and how you got started in doing this repainting and, you know, how did your doll journey start?
Well, this all started back in 2001, right as I was coming out of college. I just got my bachelor's degree. And I really was very confident I was going to go into video editing because that's actually what I went to school for. My major was communications, mm-hmm. and I was doing quite a bit of video editing. And I worked with a professor there, and we shot a documentary in Africa about black slavery, and we were going to go back and do more production work on that. But then that summer break, I happened to just browse on eBay for dolls.
You shouldn't do that
because my wife was. I get in trouble a lot of times for doing that. But my wife, she's been a collector. At that point, she's been collecting dolls for close to 15 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, so she's had quite a bit of collection, and I was just going to look for a doll to surprise her with. Then I just accidentally stumbled upon this doll that was one of the dolls that she collected. But I quickly realized that this doll, the reason was it looked very different from the dolls that my wife collected, mm-hmm. was because this doll had been intricately repainted. In other words, it had been fully customized to look like, and this wasn't even like a doll of a particular celebrity, but what really struck me, what really took my breath away about this doll was that it was painted in a very lifelike fashion, mm-hmm. that is very uncommon for doll faces. You would usually think of doll faces just painted regularly and they would look very caricaturish.
Right.
But this one looked almost like a lifelike, like an actual person, with all the shading, with all the details. And it dawned on me that the doll could actually be used as sort of like a 3D canvas to paint a portrait and paint it realistically. And that got me so fascinated that at that point I told myself, I have to give this a try. And the reason I felt so passionate about this was all my life I've been doing portraits at such a young age. Mm-hmm. I started learning how to do portraits and anything that had to do with capturing the features of the human face really appealed to me even as a child of 12 years old. So at this point in my life, I've already done a lot of portraits. I've done portraits for friends and family, mostly just gifts. And if I ever sold maybe just a couple of portraits, but really not for a living,
right?
Mostly just as a hobby. But I've been familiar with portraits and how to do them, and so the idea of being able to use a doll as sort of like a canvas and a different, a very unique kind of canvas really struck me and appealed to me. And so right away, I took one of my wife's dolls. At first, I was sort of, you know, going back and forth whether I should touch the doll's face and sort of maybe potentially ruin it in the process. But I, you know, my confidence was stronger than my fear of ruining this doll. And so I told myself I just had to go for it. And I did. And I tried to muster all the skills I knew as a portrait artist, mm-hmm. to try to work my skills on this little piece of canvas, which is the surface of a doll's face, and quickly realized that I didn't have the skills to work, to project those skills or the features onto a brand new kind of canvas for me. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was going to be easy. And so, you know, I was sort of disappointed at first and frustrated, but I just kept on going back and forth, a lot of trial and error. And my first attempt to sell it on eBay didn't really fetch any bidders. And I was brokenhearted about that. I thought it was going to be easy for me having more than 20 years of drawing skills.
Right.
But then I quickly convinced myself that I had to relearn this because this is a new medium for me, mm-hmm. using a doll. And so I spent another few weeks just sort of practicing and just sort of studying this, the photographs of this doll that I saw on eBay. And at some point I felt like I was satisfied and I told myself, okay, I think this is, you know, I'm pretty confident enough that this, would be something that would fetch some bids on eBay. And the auction went for like, 5 days on eBay. And that entire time, I was just anxiety ridden because the first couple of days, nobody placed any bids. So once it started getting a bid closer to the final hours of the doll,
right.
You know, a couple of other bidders came in and the doll finally sold for, at that point was what I seemed was a whopping amount of $162.
That was still pretty good though for your first, yes. I mean, that was still pretty good, I must say.
And at that point, what mattered to me was just the fact that it sort of validated my skills. And right. Someone was actually willing to, actually someone appreciated my work on that doll enough to, you know, pay that much amount of money, which was $162. I mean, $162 for a doll is still not, you know, just loose change.
Right, right.
You know, but it's not the, you know, like the hundreds of dollars that this other doll, you know, fetched money. But still, for me, it was like, it was a fantastic start. It was mm-hmm. a fantastic start for me. Mm-hmm. And it just got me, you know, inspired even more. I got even more ferocious with my desire to just continue with this. Mm-hmm. Portrait drawing is actually my first passion more than anything else. When I went to college, I did that video editing thing. I loved that too. But my heart still went back to portraits and drawing, but I just couldn't make any money out of it. I'm sure you're familiar with the term, the starving artist.
Yes.
And that was me, you know, up until that point, I never made any money out of my art. And so that point right there was like a pivotal point for me because it sort of, I entered that space where I'm finally able to sell my art for something and right. not just $20 or $30 mm-hmm. or just give them away for free. It just motivated and inspired me even more. So that's how it all began. And from then on, from that summer of 2001, I never stopped. And we're now 21 years after that first moment when I offered my doll on eBay.
Yeah, and then 21 years from the last time you took one of your wife's dolls and did it over. Was she upset about that?
No, she was actually flabbergasted. I cannot ever forget her excitement. She was just as excited as I was.
Oh, that's so cool.
And because she knew exactly my sentiments about art and she knew my journey in life and was really cheering on and rallying for me. And I was happy about that. Even my son was excited for me. And eBay being a newish technology back in the day, mm-hmm. this was like, wow. I was like, somebody's out there. I could not see who bought this doll. I don't know who this person is or what he or she looked like, but
right.
Wow, somebody out there likes my work, and that just gives me some sense of incredible thrill that I could never describe.
Yeah, it just gives you probably more validation, you know, like you said, of somebody out there really appreciates the work that you did. So when did you, so you said you were doing portraits since you were like a little kid, and you decided to try your hand after you saw this repainting done on this doll. What was the first celebrity doll that you decided to do?
The very first celebrity doll I did, I remembered, was Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh,
just
wow.
Because, you just, yes. And it was on that same, I used the same doll that I used for the very first doll that I sold on eBay. And this doll is actually the doll by Mel Odom, which was the Jean doll, produced by Ashton Drake Galleries. And I thought that the doll had very flexible and very adaptable features.
Okay.
You can actually project a lot of different kinds of celebrities if you just pick them out carefully. And so I did Elizabeth Taylor because she's just one of the most, to me, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful faces in Hollywood, particularly old Hollywood. There was just something about her face, her eyes, her features that I thought were so perfect. And so it, you know, to me, it was almost like a no-brainer to take Elizabeth Taylor as my first repainted doll.
Okay.
And followed by, I remember, Jane Seymour. Particularly from the movie Summer and Time, just because I really love that movie. It's just like this movie about time travel, and she had this very elegant, very wiggle look, her character. And I also used the Jean doll for that. Pretty much was using almost exclusively just Jean whenever I first started repainting.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my celebrities back in those days, especially when there weren't a lot of celebrities yet that had dolls, that actual dolls sculpted specifically after their features. So I guess it made sense to me to use the most popular fashion doll at that moment with Galactus, which was, well, apart from Barbie, which was the Jean doll.
Okay.
And a lot of other repainters who followed afterwards also used the Jean doll. So it became very popular within repainters. But I quickly realized that I wanted to specifically focus on, or at least mostly, celebrity repaints.
Okay. And why was
There's
that?
This thing about capturing an actual person's face. I also enjoyed drawing just from out of my head, you know, people or beautiful faces.
Mm-hmm.
There was some sense of satisfaction to be able to capture an actual person's likeness. Because a lot of artists know, and I'm sure they would agree, that it's not an easy task to actually capture an actual likeness whenever you're doing portrait. It's much easier to draw a beautiful face or just a non-existent, or just, you know, a person, that an imagined person.
Oh, okay.
But somebody that, like on a specific person, where you have to be more faithful and really exacting with the features so that it looks like the actual person you're portraying, for me, presents more challenge. And I really relish that challenge of being able to do that. And plus, like I said, I really am into this whole celebrity thing, this Hollywood thing. And I've been a big fan of a lot of Hollywood stars all my life.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of really appealed to me. And then and sort of where I really made that decision to concentrate on recreating mostly celebrity dolls.
Okay. All right. So when you started painting them, when you started to change the, say you had a doll, a Mel Odom doll, and you wanted to make them look like somebody else, what type of materials do you use for that? I mean, because I guess for me, I can't see that you just take off the paint and just redo that doll. I would think you'd have to change it in some way.
Surprisingly, all I used was just acrylic paints and brushes.
Oh, wow.
If you've ever, yes, the whole idea when you're painting a specific celebrity using a generic, for lack of a better word, or when you're using a generic or non a specific doll's face. It's not meant to be a doll of a specific person. It's just to use that doll to sort of channel the features of that person that you're recreating. So naturally, you're not able to replicate the exact shape of the nose or the lips, but you come as close by pushing the boundaries by using a method called contouring, which a lot of makeup artists are very familiar, especially makeup artists of Hollywood stars would use this technique wherein they make a certain celebrity look like another celebrity. There's this brilliant artist called Kevin O'Kwan. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his last name right, but he did a lot of work with so many different celebrities where he would like work on a specific celebrity, for instance, Winona Ryder, and transform Winona Ryder and make her look like she has the very essence of Elizabeth Taylor from the movie Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. So the whole idea is just to take that celebrity's features and sort of like personality and project that onto the doll's face so that whenever you look at the doll's face, you sort of quickly recognize the features as being that of a specific celebrity.
Okay.
So then in other words, you can change certain things, like especially from the front view, where you can change the shape of the lips just by over-exaggerating the lip line. Or the eyes are not really three-dimensionally shaped, like they don't, the sculpted features on a Jean doll don't stick out, so that you could actually create your own shape of the eyes when painting the eyes and or painting the eyebrows. So it gives you a lot of room wherein you could actually manipulate the features with painting,
right?
And that you could, you know, sort of quote unquote reshape the doll's features.
Gotcha.
And that's essentially what I did as a repainter to sort of use that doll, the Jean doll. And a lot of collectors quickly caught on with that and they appreciated that I was able to actually. And that's the thing with the Jean doll is a lot of my customers is just really amazed or surprised by how I could transform it into a completely different look.
Yes.
And so that sort of really gave me that inspiration to keep on working with the Jean doll. And and just the fact that I was able to make different sort of, like you could, it's almost unrecognizable.
Yes.
almost could not recognize it as a Jean doll anymore. And that's the satisfaction I got from creating one repaint to another another.
Right.
They look completely different from each other, but in reality, it's all just the same doll skull,
right,
which was the Jean doll.
That's why I was asking, because I thought, you know, I thought maybe you'd have to cover up certain things, you know, with some kind of material to and redesign it from there. So I'm just totally fascinated that you don't do that, you know, that you didn't have to do that, that you just use paint to, like you said, to those contour secrets, I guess, to, you know, to highlight a different face structure. That's fascinating to me. So.
And to me, it's sort of just, I don't know, it's, you know, I'm kind of like surprised myself that I could do it. and just for an artist to be able to do that, to just use one piece of canvas and to create different looks. For me, it was very exciting. It was very thrilling especially when I was just starting out, because this was nothing, or this wasn't anything that I've ever been, like I was ever familiar with as an artist. This was a totally newfound territory for me to dive into. And so to just be able to really explore this and explore it exhaustingly just by creating different looks and showing people and how I'm able to get such inspiring feedback from people just sort of kept me driving forward even further. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, just to me, it was just something thrilling to do as an artist, because it was something fresh and it was something new. And at the same time, it was something. So it was a combination of my passion for art and my passion for celebrity combined into one format or one piece of thing that you could actually share out there with mm-hmm. with people who like to collect dolls and who appreciate celebrity work.
Yeah, I mean, I am just like, you know, me and thousands of other people, millions of other people are fascinated with, you know, the way that you can transform a doll, you know, even if it's already a doll that looks like the celebrity, and how you can take that and actually make it look even more realistic, you know. So I know you don't just do celebrities. I know you did a doll that was really, really close to your heart. So I want you to share that the doll that you did about your mom, because I think that's just a beautiful story.
Yes.
And the fact that she looks so much like her picture is just a testament to the amazing work that you do, you know.
Here she is.
So beautiful.
Yes. My most special doll here, my most special work. This doll holds a lot of meaning for me, because this is a doll that I made after my mom. So first off, this is a Jean doll created to look like my mom. Jean doll is, again, by the brilliant Mel Odom, and she's like 15 inch tall. So whenever I first started repainting, I already thought about doing a tribute doll of my mom. For me, it was very important that I honored my mom and paid tribute to her using my skills as an artist. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what better way to do that than by using a doll and employing, you know, my newfound skills as a repaint artist, and sort of use that and my skills to be able to pay tribute to the most dearest person in my life, which is my mom. And on many levels, this is very important to me, because first of all, my mom was a very imposing figure in my life. She's inspired me on so many levels. In fact, she was the very first person who actually encouraged me with my artwork. And she would always promote my work with my drawings to her friends and relatives. And so for me to be able to do this is a very natural thing. You know, there's no question I had to do it. Mm-hmm. So when I had the chance to do it using a Jean doll, and this particular look of my mom is based from one of her photographs wearing the same exact hairstyle. And by the way, my work as a repaint artist does not only entail working on the face or doing repaint. It also entails actually, especially when you're working to recreate a particular person, that you have to be specific also to that person's hairstyle. Mm-hmm. Because I think the hair, as well as the face, like both are significant or vital, you know, just elements in contributing to that entire look and capturing that level of authenticity of that person's likeness. And so I thought I'd, you know, recreate my mom's hairstyle and my mom's face from that particular shot, from that particular studio shot of her picture. And she's here with me whenever I draw. She's in this very room all the time, so she's staring at me, watching me work, keeping me company. And it might sound silly, but I feel like her spirit is here with me whenever I do my work. I can just you know, take a break and look at the doll and see my mom, and feel her presence, so to speak. And I'm grateful for that. So this doll will always hold a special meaning in my heart. I actually brought her back to the Philippines during my last trip in 2019, and showed her around. Yeah, so she's been to different doll functions, doll shows, and doll gatherings, and everybody was just very, you know, happy and, and really thrilled to see, because I've seen her in pictures. A lot of the people who follow my work have seen her My brothers, who are all back in the Philippines, were very thrilled to see her for the first time as well.
Oh, so, that must have been so sweet.
That was a special moment for me.
Yeah, that must have been so nice.
And also, one thing that I just want to add about this doll is when she was still alive, after she married, she never really. We were struggling economically. We had so much hard economic times, mm-hmm. and she never got really to do much of the things that she wanted to do, like travel, even wear nice clothes, because whatever little income we had went to our education, went to our food. And so this doll allowed me to sort of take her to places. So whenever I traveled, I took her to Hawaii. Aww. I took her to our road trip in Colorado. I took her to when we went to Graceland to visit Elvis Presley's home. And so I felt as if almost vicariously through this doll, it gave me a sense of satisfaction. Sort of, I could imagine that she had somehow been able to experience all those things.
Yeah,
be able to do those things that she never had quite the chance to do because we were so poor back
right.
in the day. And I keep up dressing her, redressing her in different fashions that she probably would have bought or purchased if she had the money,
right.
but she didn't. So just doing those things, with this doll just gives me a lot of satisfaction. And for me, as a child, as her child, it was so important for me to do that.
Yeah.
Like if I couldn't do that to her, like in person, in real mm-hmm. life, at least I could do it to a doll of her that I paid tribute to her, and right. it would almost mean exactly like the same thing,
yeah.
like the same gesture as if she were around, and as if I've finally been able to provide for her, or provided her with some comfort in life, some luxury, some comforts.
Right.
And I know I couldn't do that with her not being around anymore, so I do it with her doll.
With your doll. That's so, oh my gosh, okay, I almost wanted to cry. I almost wanted to cry for a minute, you know. My mom, my mom just passed away, last year, and so we were always really close. And
so sorry to hear that.
Thank you so much. But I when you said how you just travel with her and take her places that she had never seen, I think for me that really touched me, because I think a lot of times as children, you want to be able to take care of your parents. You want to be able to
Absolutely. To
have the money to do those things for them, because they took care of you and they struggled and made sure that your life was better. And when they're not here, those are the things that you want to do for them. So I think you are blessing her spirit by doing that. I think that is just a beautiful way to honor her. And you do it so well. The fact that you created, how she looks, how you buy a clothes that you believe that she would have bought, and take her places, because I think it just keeps that connection that you have with her. And she's like your muse, and that's who she is to you. So I do want to thank you for doing that, because it's so beautiful. So beautiful.
And let me just make a little shout out to Mel Odom. Thank you, Mel, for creating a doll, choosing an era in which my mom lived, in that particular era, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the fashions, this is actually another fashion created by Ashton Drake for Jean Doll,
mm-hmm.
which just complements my mom, the doll of my mom, perfectly, because she lived, mm-hmm. she was young. She was
right.
a young woman in that era. And without doubt, I probably would have spent a fortune commissioning clothes. So I didn't even have to do that, because Mel Odom created the right doll, timeline-wise, and the right fashions, which there's so many beautiful fashions that Mel Odom created.
We will make sure he gets your shout out. That's for sure.
Yes.
That's for sure. Well, thank you for sharing that, because she is a beautiful doll. And when I saw her picture and I see the doll, I see her. There's just no, she looks so much like her, that it's phenomenal, the work that you do. So beautiful.
Okay, Mom, we're gonna set you aside for a bit.
Yes. Talk about some more of your other dolls. That'd be wonderful. So when you were talking about you recreating these dolls and repainting them dolls. And you were saying that you don't, it's not just the face for you, right? Like you said, you create the clothes and as well as the hair, and the hair is something that's really, really important to you. When I look back on the dolls, of course, you know, the doll that has the the most iconic hair, the one that you recreated. And so talk about that Farrah Fawcett doll, because I think you're right in the sense that without that hair, it's not a Farrah Fawcett doll. You know what I mean? So how intricate and how important is hair to that doll, to any doll?
Mm-hmm. Farrah Fawcett, she's a celebrity. She's a huge star back in the 70s. She rose to fame from the TV show Charlie's Angels. Mm-hmm. And also, I think even up to this point, she holds the title for the largest, best-selling poster. Mm-hmm. Of all time. Yes. The red swimsuit poster.
Yes.
back in the day, it was just phenomenally insane how every young man, mm-hmm. or every man on the planet had the poster on their bedroom walls, mm-hmm. at that time. She was that iconic. And also, I was a big fan of her just because, I thought she was a phenomenal performer from that show. And, also her looks were so iconic. I mean, first of all, yeah, if you're going to replicate a celebrity, that would be a challenge in and of itself. But to replicate a celebrity for which she became an icon, not only for her face, but for her hair. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's even doubly challenging.
Right.
So for me to just paint her face is not going to be enough. It just isn't going to do the job. It's not going to cut it.
Right.
So, and Mattel came out with the production version of this shortly after Farrah Fawcett died. Mm-hmm. Then this doll came out in 2011, if I wasn't mistaken. And the sculpt was really remarkably, the sculpt that captured perfectly Farrah Fawcett's features. But in my opinion, the hair was, or even the facial painting, was totally far from me. So, and I guess that's sort of where I come in as a repaint artist. And my job is not just to repaint, but to repaint it in such a way that it captures the likeness. And not even just capture the likeness, but capture it in a lifelike way. I mean, you could probably do a caricature of Farrah, and you could still recognize that as Farrah Fawcett.
Right.
But my work and my style of doing portraits, even as a young child, has always been the lifelike, the photographic. Like, for instance, whenever I was doing black and white portraits, I would imagine that these black and white portraits were like black and white photographs. Mm-hmm. That level of realism and shading, where you could actually look at a picture and think that it was a black and white photograph. I aspired to that kind of aesthetic and style. And so whenever I began working on dolls, I sort of projected that same level of aesthetic and style, mm-hmm. with my dolls. So in other words, if I took a photographs of this doll and posted that on Facebook, my intention would be to make your doll look like it was that actual photograph, that person.
Right.
That was the sort of level of detail I was trying to achieve. So in this Farrah Fawcett, the first order of business was to paint her face. But let me tell you, one other very challenging aspect about doing a Farrah Fawcett repaint, especially a smiling one with her teeth all showing, is to paint every single one of those teeth in the same exact shape of every one of Farrah Fawcett's tooth. So, yeah, so the shape, the scale of the teeth have to be precise and exact. And even not just showing the upper teeth, but part of her lower teeth. So that was the challenge. And you can ask anybody who paints portraits if they have to do the teeth. That would be such a pain in the, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It would be, it's such hard work. So to do that, to referencing an actual person is even more challenging. Mm-hmm. So that was the first, that was challenge number one right there, was the teeth. And then the second challenge was, how do you create such an iconic hairstyle on that doll? So the thing I learned from all my years of repainting was I actually had also many years practicing with cutting hair and layering hair and looking at different hairstyle magazines. You know, back in the days, I don't know if they're still selling actual magazines right now, but I would just go to bookstores and look at magazines of hairstyles and use that as a reference point and mm-hmm. take as many inspiration as I can get from photographs. And so I got a lot of practice doing that.
Okay.
So at this time, at that point when I was ready to create this doll, I already had developed some skills with hairstyling. So I wasn't new to hairstyling anymore. So okay. I guess that helped me largely. I knew that the hairstyle had to be layered and feathered like Farrah Fawcett's hair. And it gives me the kick whenever people would ask, how in the world were you able to take that hairstyle and make it look exactly like Farrah Fawcett's hair? Where do you even begin? Where do you even start? Yes. So it's like people are at a loss where even to begin. And sometimes when people ask me, how do you even do it? My answer would be just, I guess you have to ask my hands. My hands just... It's like my hands have a brain, have a mind of its own. It's almost like impossible to describe it.
Right.
It's almost like, and it's true. It's like whenever I get into that momentum, I don't even think about it. It's like, and it sounds almost like arrogant when I say that, but honestly, I just don't even think. It's just my hands just know what to do. Instinctively, I know which area to cut just by looking at a picture. I know which part of the hair has to be short or shorter or longer.
Okay.
And which part to curl this way or curl that way to, you know, flip in or flip out.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of like create the volume on the crown of the head. So, you know, it's the hairstyle is just something that I spend hours and hours and hours. I don't even like really budget my hours when it comes to hairstyle. Because, like I said, the hairstyle has to be not just the shape of the hair, not just the particular style, but the scale in such a way that when you photograph it, it looks almost like a human scale, not doll scale. Doll's hair, they tend to be really big and really out there. And so just being able to scale it down and making it relax, because that's the other problem with doll's hair. Sometimes is they tend to jump out and it's almost impossible to make the doll's hair relaxed and just look normal. So those are pretty much right. A challenge. So I don't know. I just enjoy working on, and I have a friend who I think has the biggest collection of Farrah Fawcett repaints.
Wow.
Yeah, he pretty much his entire collection of repaints, I would say like 90% of his repaint collection are my repaints and are 90% Farrah Fawcett repaints.
Wow.
So I've done different incarnations of Farrah right. Fawcett, different hairstyles mm-hmm. throughout the years. She, you know, after she stopped doing this kind of hairstyle, she
right.
sported different other looks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the, you know, my friend commissioned me to do all these different looks. So that's yes, cool. I think I've probably replicated at least 20 different kinds of Farrah Fawcett hairstyles throughout the years.
Right,
Throughout her years of being a celebrity, sporting wow. different hairstyles.
So, okay.
Yeah, but I always go back to this as my most favorite look, just because it's so iconic.
Yeah, definitely so iconic. Isn't it so funny? Because you were just talking about the proportions of creating hair so that it looks proportionate to a doll, or it looks like a human on a doll. You know, it's I kind of think that's interesting. What sections of the doll that you find the most challenging when you have to recreate? Besides the hair, like is it the eyes, you know, like you said, is it the mouth, is it the nose? Like what portion of the doll is most challenging for you to create?
For me, it's personally always been the teeth. Whenever I see a brand new celebrity face sculpt, and it's a non-smiling face sculpt. I always say, oh, thank God. Thank God. Because it's doubly challenging when you have, and it's, and not only that, time-wise, the amount of time you spend just doubles whenever you're doing a celebrity sculpt with a smiling mouth, with a full smile. So whenever you're dealing with a celebrity sculpt that has a full smile, you always, always automatically and most definitely have to spend twice as much time working on that repaint.
Okay.
Just because painting the teeth is just so time consuming. It's just, and it's not just painting the teeth and making the teeth, the shape of each one of those tooth exact. It's also shading the every single one. Because what people don't realize is it might look all white to you, but there's actually very subtle shading that's going on there.
Okay.
So yeah, it's not just painting the divisions between the teeth, but also shading every single one of them.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't overestimate the challenge or overstate when I say that
how
it's
much,
really challenging.
Right. How long it takes to do that.
Yes. So that's one thing. And also, if I may add, if a celebrity doll or any doll for that matter, whether it be a doll of a celebrity or not, if they have like features that are molded, those usually are a challenge because the more molded areas there are of a doll's face, then the lesser chance you have to be able to push the boundaries. So you have to be really careful with that. For instance, there are certain dolls from other doll companies that would actually sculpt the eyelids, and whereas in the case of Mattel, usually the dolls don't have sculpted eyelids, so that when you erase the eyes, it's just basically a flat surface.
Right. Okay.
There are not any areas that are molded that are sticking out or jutting out, and so it's easier to just be more flexible or just work your magic and not be constrained by any sculpted area. So you can basically just paint any shape of eye, any different eye shapes. It's much easier to do that because you don't have to deal with any ridges, things like that. So that's also one challenge whenever you're, because you try to push the boundaries when you're doing celebrities. Try to make it as close as possible to the person you're replicating.
Okay.
Yes. So those things, yeah.
So what other celebrities you have there that we could that you could share with us?
Okay, and here's another one from the classic era, one of my favorites.
Oh yes, look at that.
We have here the iconic Audrey Hepburn, and this is her look from the film My Fair Lady.
Beautiful.
Where she played Eliza Doolittle. Yeah, with this one, this is also by Mattel, and the doll was molded, sculpted to look just like Audrey Hepburn.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge was just to make it more photographic, more realistic. And the hairstyle has also been restyled.
Okay.
So now the challenge with this particular repaint was the very tiny sideburns.
Right, okay. I see them there.
So if you look at the sideburns, and especially when doing hair pieces that small, it is so hard to make them relax. Usually, like just jump out and look sort of funky, you know. So that's the challenge when doing a celebrity with delicate hairstyles like that. You have to be mindful of the scale of the things like the bangs and the sideburns. And of course, on top of that, the likeness has to be there. That's Audrey Hepburn. And she's been very popular with collectors. And Mattel actually did also another version from the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's. Okay, let me show you another one of my favorite dolls here. Here's one of the celebrities that got me into really doing portraits. And this one was from the show, The Bionic Woman, back in the 70s. So this is actually, the doll that I used for this is actually a Robert Tanner doll. Particularly, this doll was actually a doll from the movie Warm Bodies. So Tanner produced one of the characters from that movie, Warm Bodies. And I thought the features were close enough for me to replicate features of Lindsay Wagner. She's my all-time favorite TV idol, or even celebrity idol, if you will. And I've met her a few times. I had to just have a doll of her because it was from watching her show that I was inspired to really pursue my my portrait drawing even further. Back in the day, back in the 70s, after every episode, I would, you know, grab my piece of paper and my pencil, and I would draw the scenes from the particular episode that I just finished watching. And I did that constantly throughout high school, and I was so obsessed. Every magazine that I could find of her, I would buy with whatever allowance I had saved up.
Wow.
So, and when I met her for the first time in 2006, I was just, it was just like an out-of-body experience. I was literally floating in the air. I didn't even remember the first words I uttered. Or if I was even able to speak the first few minutes of seeing her.
You were starstruck, huh?
Yes. And this particular doll, she actually signed, she finally autographed one of the legs, just because her character as the Bionic Woman, she had two nuclear-powered legs and a nuclear-powered arm. So so it was funny that she signed her name on one of the bionic legs. So she's seen this doll, and she, you know, she was really amazed to see this, and that meant a lot to me for her to see this doll. One of my other favorites is this doll, the Marilyn Monroe doll. This doll was the company that made this was called Franklin Mint Company, and she's 15 inches tall, so she's taller than Barbie. But she has this very finely sculpted face that captures Marilyn Monroe's features very well. And this is one of my favorite looks of her from the event where she sang Happy Birthday to President Kennedy. So this was the fashion, and I recreated her makeup and her hairstyle. And I have to point out with celebrity dolls, it's almost a given that you have to restyle the hair. The hairstyles are far from looking authentic to the actual real hairstyles. Okay. So, and not to say anything bad about Mattel, but, you know, it's I'm sure it's a very challenging task to particularly replicate, and especially in exacting detail when you're producing
mass
dolls.
Producing, right, exactly.
Yes, to actually capture, you know, every single strand of hair, every single detail. So I think, and it's ironically, I'm thankful for that, because then that's where I come in
as, that's right.
As a customizer, as a repainter, to actually do my job as a repaint artist, to take that doll further to the next level and make it more, if you will, more authentic, or more closer to the actual likeness of the doll.
Right, right.
So yeah, that's okay.
That's pretty cool. All right, I was going to ask you that about, you know, when you were saying when you take the doll and you repaint that and put your spin on it. So I asked another guest of ours one time what made his dolls like his dolls. So I'm going to ask you that question. Like, what makes a Noel Cruz repaint a Noel Cruz doll? Like what do you think that you bring to that doll to say that this is who I am and this is what I do when you look at that doll?
Okay, I'm going to answer that with the comments I get from most of my doll customers. My doll customers, or even people that haven't bought my dolls but just see my dolls online or on social media, what they said was, what makes my doll was because I pay close attention to the likeness every single time. It's like you can tell exactly, and these are people saying these things, okay? Mm-hmm. You can almost tell exactly who that doll is just from looking at the photos without even reading the description, okay? So whenever I show my dolls out there, every single time I would come across comments like that. I don't even have to read the description to know who that person is.
Right, it's so true.
Yes. And so I am just humbled by it. Yeah. It gives me so much, it gives me indescribable satisfaction to know that my purpose in my artistic life has been achieved by the comments, because really that was precisely my intention whenever I created that doll. As my intention with every celebrity doll is to make it looking exactly like the celebrity that they were meant to portray.
Right.
Otherwise, what's the point in making the celebrity doll, right?
Right.
I mean, you could just call it any other doll. But if you have the audacity to say that this is a doll of this particular celebrity, you have to be ready to actually validate that and mm-hmm. to say, here it is. Here's my doll.
And that's what you do so well, though. You validate that. That's exactly what you do. You really do. It's so funny that you said that's what people say. I wanted to know what you said about it, but it's true. What people say is exactly what you do. And it was so funny because I think yesterday, it must have been yesterday, my brother-in-law, he knows I do the show, and he texted me, and he texted me an image with a doll and then a repaint of the doll. But he didn't say the name. He was just like, hey, I saw this artist, and I think you would be interested. And literally, as soon as I saw the picture, I already knew who we were talking about.
Wow.
I said to myself, this must be Noel's work, right? And I hit the image, and sure enough, it showed up. And that's when I was able to text him and I said, thank you so much for sharing this, but I'm excited because, I'm going to interview him, But I just automatically knew as soon as
I like him already.
As soon as I saw the image, I just saw the image of what the doll looked like and what it looked like now. And I knew it was you. Without a doubt, I knew it was you.
And it does mean a lot to me. It means a lot to me because I chose this particular line of work and more specifically working on celebrity dolls. Mm-hmm. And so for me to be able to actually back that up with the quality of my work, mm-hmm. whatever I put out there, it really means a lot for me. And for people to actually, give me that validation, really just, I don't know, it just gives me that warm feeling every time, and it never gets old. it just makes me smile and just feel warm.
Well, we don't want it to get old. We don't want it to get old for you.
No,
we don't want you to stop producing the amazing dolls that you produce. So,
In 21 years, in fact, for such a long time doing it, I feel like I haven't even created enough for me to say that I'm ready to, or I'm nearing the end of my retirement. I don't even, in fact, think of retiring.
Right. Well,
it's
good.
Like for me, it's like, well, what am I retiring from? I'm retiring from life, because saying that I'll be retiring means I'm retiring from life. I mean, it's not even work when you're enjoying what you're doing.
Yes, that's so true.
When you're passionate about something. And I realize not everybody who's working out there can have luxury of being able to say that. Mm-hmm. But I do, and I thank the people who support me, and I thank my family, because my wife, she's been in full support of me from the get-go, and my son too, and the people around me. And just to be able to have that support system, mm-hmm. and people that encourage you, and people who cheer you on and encourage you every time. It's like, how can I even think about retiring? I mean, as long as my hands and my eyes are still working, I'm going to be doing this, because I shudder to think what else is there.
What else you would do?
If I don't create art anymore, it's like there's nothing
you can,
left
you
for
can,
me
you
to
can
do.
Come and help me edit. That's what you could do.
Okay. Okay. Now, at least that would still be art, in my mind.
That's true. Yes. I don't know how artful my editing is, but, it still helped me out. But I want to get back to that, the part you were talking about of of doing this and being passionate about this, and you couldn't see yourself doing anything else, right? It's just part of who you are. But I also what I want to ask is that, you know, even though that is part of who you are and it is what you do, is that something that can sustain your life financially? Because a lot of times people think being an artist, and we talked about that earlier today when you were saying you were a starving artist, right? When people think about being a creative or getting into that space, they don't want to fully commit because they're afraid that they're not going to be able to, you know, sustain themselves financially. So in the kind of work that you do, have you at this point now created something that can sustain you financially? You know, because of the work that you do.
Absolutely. That's such a valid point, especially when it's so true that so many artists are not able to really sustain that level of consistency where they can say that, oh, I'm making enough money with this, and I can support myself. But, you know, let me, you know, tell you one thing. When I first started doing this, I was very skeptical back in 2001, okay? But then it never really occurred in my mind that I worried so much about that aspect. I only worried about making this a passion, because in my mind, I thought if I was passionate about this enough, and with the climate, with the interest in dolls going on right now, I knew I could make a living out of this. And here's the thing. Since 2001, when I first started this, I never stopped. I never had any other job.
Wow.
This has been my full-time job since 2001, okay? And yes, my wife has her own job. Mm-hmm. But there's no way that, you know, we could raise our child just from one person working.
Right.
And so just the blessing of being able to work full-time doing this from the get-go, from its inception back 21 years ago up to now, it's a full-time thing. This is what I do, and this is, and I'm thankful that it hasn't always been that I'm able to ask the price that I've been asking now.
Right.
It didn't start out that way, but back in the day, I was just taking commissions left and right, just secretly making up in numbers.
Right.
What I couldn't do in price-wise, the amount that I was asking for. But now, and thankfully, I've come to a level in which I can, you know, ask for this amount of money.
Right. It's gradual.
I could still, you know, offer my work on eBay, and people would still pay a much higher amount of average than when I first was starting out. So if I started out with 162 and then I went from 162 to $300 and then I went up to $500, and some of my work have sold for much higher on eBay, and with that consistency, I was able to just charge a commission amount, which I was regularly receiving commissions.
Right.
In other words, asking that price, and people were still interested. It wasn't about really the price. It was just the quality of work. And I've gotten this comment from a lot of my customers that I could have gone for a much cheaper person probably to do this, but I wanted your work. I wanted it to be you. You know, I'm willing to pay this much amount of money to have your work. And so I have that kind of person, and you multiply it by so many people having that same sentiment, having that same conviction about you. And a lot of my customers are repeat customers too. It's like they're just building and building upon their repaint collection. And so I was blessed in that way. And this has been going on for so many years now. And with the funny thing was, whenever COVID happened, that really got me worried. Like, I thought with people losing jobs left and right, my business might, you know, just suffer, you know, miserably because of this. And I was honestly thinking about a day job.
Some other kind of work.
Finding some other kind of gig, because, you know, these are different times we're living in. These are not normal times anymore. Right, what if this happens? But I was just shocked. Not only did I keep my customers, but in fact, my workload even got bigger. I had even more people commissioning me for work. And
Well, you know, doll collectors, man, they won't stop collecting. That doll collectors are not going to stop collecting.
I'm still getting a lot of work, and I'm getting a lot of commissions. At least with the commissions that I get, I'm able to actually pick and choose because I'm getting, you know, many offers, enough for me to just sort of be more picky with what I choose to accept.
Right.
So I sort of have to, you know, turn down some commission offers because, I mean, if I had a clone of 12 other Noel Cruises, I'd probably accept them all, but I don't. But it's so funny. I actually have more work now than I ever did, and I'm just so grateful. So with being a repainter, or being in my situation and the question of sustainability,
right?
I'm not as worried anymore.
Right. That's beautiful.
And, yes, and of course I'm speaking just for myself.
Right. I understand. Yeah,
just to add one more thing. It's not going to make me rich by any stretch of the imagination. I am not going to live in a mansion or luxury place anytime soon. But the important thing is, really, it may sound like a cliche, but I really do enjoy what I do. Mm-hmm. I really love what I do. And for me to be able to invest this many years doing this, I think says more than anything else about my desire for what I do. I don't think there would be any way. I've never held a job down anywhere near as many years as I've spent on doing repaints on doing dolls.
Right.
So I think that says a lot right there.
yeah, it truly does. And I think what you were saying before is really important. Yes, it may not put you in a mansion, but it makes you rich in the opportunity to do what it is that you do and love to do. And the other thing too is that people see that you're doing that and you are making a living. It inspires them to know that somebody is doing that and they're making a living. Because a lot of the times, a lot of creatives, they just want to be able to do what they do and make money from it. You know, they're not thinking, oh, I'm going to go, like you said, and, you know, have my own jet plane or anything like that. They just want to continue to do what they do and, you know, buy groceries and make money, take a vacation and do things like that, but still be passionate and create the things that they create. And so when they see that that's what you're doing, I don't think it's a matter of, well, you know, he's not doing it on this level. The fact is that you are doing it and it inspires other people that it can be done.
Glad that you mentioned that, Georgette. I'm so glad you brought that up because that's actually one of the things that gives me so much joy. And I think it's, you know, a gift that keeps on giving is whenever you get compliment for your work, whenever you hear from people, especially with social media now. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. I never in my wildest dreams even expected to have this kind of exposure and reach with my work without the internet, without social media, without the technology that we have now. I mean, back in the day, how could you possibly reach a worldwide audience or a worldwide market? I have to mention this. Back in 2008 was when I first got written up in the media. And I think that sort of helped put my work out there because a news publication saw my work. And then that article got picked up by other news agencies. And that's sort of how it all started to, you know, got me into having television interviews and articles online and on magazines and newspapers. I wasn't expecting that one or even conceived about that as being a thing that would be an offshoot of what I did as an artist. And it's not so much as being featured as much as it is to be able to reach a wider audience and for people to really take notice of my work. For me, that's really what mattered to me most primarily was for me to be able to share my work. Being featured in all these publications allowed me that and for people to see what I can do. And I think that's also part of the reason why, as far as financially, I'm able to sustain myself is because I had that privilege of being able to be recognized or be known by as many collectors, mm-hmm. by a wider audience. I had a much larger potential for customers.
Yes.
And if I hadn't done that, it would probably been a much different story.
But yes.
So I have that to be thankful for. And also as an artist, just to be able to share and impart to others what I know.
Yes.
Get a lot of messages from up and coming new beginning artists who would ask what my tips are or what do I use for painting and tips right. and tricks mm-hmm. like that. So just to be able to sort of, quote unquote, to mentor them or to just teach them in a way that I could never have done mm-hmm. to me is also a very important thing. Not only being an artist, but to be able to share your gift. Because to me, if I've been giving something, then the least I could do is to at least be able to share that.
Right.
Not be selfish about it, but make use of it. Not squander it, not waste it. And this really was the opportunity for me to do that.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because I literally was going to ask you that question, because earlier when we were talking, you said, oh, if I had like 15 more me, I would accept more work. And so I thought, my thinking was, well, okay, do you mentor other artists who want to, you know, who are up and coming? And you kind of answered that, you know, you do, you know, have a great opportunity because you are seen, and now you do have exposure, you know, through the media, that people can reach out to you and, you know, for tips or help or things like that. And I think mentoring is so important. And I'm so glad that you do that, because it is a way of giving back. It's a way of sharing the talent that you have and giving another opportunity to other people. So that's pretty cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll always be thankful for that. I mean,
Yeah, that's cool. Well, we're happy that it worked out for you, because it works out for us. All the people who absolutely love what you do and recreating these dolls to make them, like you said, look like they should look. It's not taking away anything from the other people who have created those dolls. It's just that you bring right. something different out on that doll that makes it just more realistic. And so we really appreciate all the amazing, amazing repaints and that
Thank
you have done and that but, you shared with us. So,
but I just have to also, give credit to the doll sculptors. They
yes.
do a fantastic job. It makes the job easier for yeah. me. So kudos to
yes,
to
we'll
those doll sculptors.
Yes, because that's beautiful.
The designers.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So I really am so thankful that you said yes to be on In the Doll World. You know,
it's my pleasure.
One of the things, you know, when you were talking about being seen and having the ability to be seen nationally, internationally, because of media and things like that. I think that's why, for me, it's important that this doll show exists, because there's so many people who haven't heard about you that can see your work. There's so many people who haven't heard about some of the smaller doll artists out there that are just up and coming, that, you know, that this platform will allow them to be seen internationally and locally, you know, and give them a different opportunity to be known in places that they probably never thought people would know who they are. So that's why I love doing the show, is just being able to share, you know, your journeys and the things that you go through and the things that you found, you know, and the things that make you who you are in this doll community. And so I'm just grateful that everybody says yes, because it's really just, it's really about sharing your work with everybody else.
Yes. And thank you thank you for wonderful people like you who provide for artists like us to showcase what we do, and not just to showcase, but actually to be able to memorialize it and be able to show it to others. And you've asked the perfect questions. You encourage the your guests to actually really share and be inspired to tell their story, and I thank you so much for that.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. You know, it's my pleasure. Totally my pleasure. Well, thank you again, Noel, for being on In the Dawn World with us. And just share with everybody how they can find your amazing work.
Yes. For everyone who's interested to check out my work, they can go on Facebook at Noel Cruz Dolls. And I'm also on Instagram at Noel Cruz Dolls, or a website. It's www.ncruz.com.
And if you haven't seen his work, check it out. He's just brilliant at what he does. And again, I want to say thank you so much for being on In the Dawn World with us. And we look forward to all the rest of your amazing repaints. I'm excited just to see what you have coming down the line. So
I'll definitely share some more dolls in the coming weeks. So make sure to stay tuned and check them out.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you again so much.
Thank you, Georgette.
You're so welcome. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to In the Dawn World. Really hope that you enjoyed the show. Please don't forget to share our podcast with other doll enthusiasts such as yourself. And if you would like to leave a message on how you enjoyed the show, or you want to suggest any guests that we should interview, as well as share information about what's happening in the doll community in your area, please know that you can reach out to us at georgette.inthedollworld@gmail.com. Also, if you want to see some of the photos we will be posting of our guests, as well as the dolls that they talk about on the show, please visit www.inthedollworld.com. And until next week, add a little play into your life by collecting a doll, sharing a doll, or giving a doll a home. Until next week, thank you again for listening to In the Dawn World.